Mass Silva Pashas Bamidbo. Morning, everybody. In Mirza Shem, we're going to discuss today a few different halachas about Berachas Kohanim. Now, I've tried to split up this shiur to give everyone a chance, as you may. Me being a Kohen, I have a personal interest in discussing this inyan, especially the week before Shavuos. And I've tried to divide it into halachas for a non-Kohen and halachas for a Kohen. And we'd like to start speaking about the inyan of where the non-Kohen should stand. So the Gemara and the Mechaba tells us that the people standing behind the Kohanim are not included in the Brocha. However, people that are standing in front or at the side of the Kohanim, even if there is a Mechitza Shel Barzel separating the two, they are still included in the Brocha. So basically, people behind the Kohanim are not included in the Brocha, and people in front or the side are included in the Brocha. The Gemara has one exclusion to this, which is that people who are in a difficult situation, if they are in work, if you can imagine it's Israel, they're duchen every day, people who can't get to shul, they're busy in the field, this is called Amshe Besodois, they're busy with their work, they can't come, they are included in the Brocha because they have no other option. And the Gemara takes this even further, if we'll just digress for a minute. If you can imagine, there's a case where, let's say, you've got the shul of only Kohanim. So you might think, which shul has only Kohanim? So I'll explain to you a case when it could very well happen. I've got an uncle who's a Kohen, and he has 10 Kohen. He has 10 sons. Now, if they were to go away for Shabbos, to have a family reunion, whatever it is in Eretz Yisrael, and they were away for Shabbos, and they have a minyan with only Kohanim, what do they do? So the Mechaba tells us that if they are exactly 10, then the Kohanim go up to the Aron HaKodesh, they duchen, and there's no one else in shul. Who is receiving the Brocha? The people who are receiving the Brocha is Amshe Besodos. These people who can't get there, he's also a Kohen. So the people in the fields, even though they're not hearing it, they are including the Brocha, and that is enough to allow the whole Berachas Kohanim to be set. And therefore, these people who are not in shul and they're not able to come, they are still included in the Brocha, even though they might be behind the Kohanim, because they're not able to come.
So what do you say?
Shul, the people are standing in the front. Right, that's how I'm going to come to that in a minute. Now, the Pasuk about Berachas Kohanim says, Omoy Lohem, now these two words, Omar Lahem, the Gemara understands to mean that say to them, that means just like a person speaks to his friend, so too has got to be the layout of the people whilst the Kohanim are giving the Brocha. That means that the people have got to be facing the faces of the Kohanim. Explains the Achronim, this is the reason why we have to be in front or at the side of the Kohanim in order that the faces should meet. That you should be able to meet, because just like if I'm speaking to someone, he's not going to be standing behind me. I don't speak to someone who's standing behind me. I speak to someone when he's facing me, when he's able to face me. And therefore, if the people are standing behind the Kohanim, that is not acceptable, because he is showing that he's not interested in the Brocha. Because if he would want to be interested in the Brocha, he should go in front like a person who usually talks to his friend. Says the Mishnah Berurah from the Achronim, like what you said, that if you have a Aron HaKodesh that sticks out, which is very often the case, which sticks out into the shul, I think the MH, the main shul here is like this, and the Mizrach, or even the row behind Mizrach, is behind where the Kohanim are going to stand, they are not included in the Brocha, because they're not in the Matzah of Onus, where they can't do anything about it. They should come forward and rectify the situation. The Bach comes along with a very interesting taina. He wants to be melamed zchus on these people who don't. He says that, what do you mean? Everyone who is davening in shul, most people, they buy a seat. They can't just move around. they bought their seats, so because they own their seats, and their seat is behind the Kohanim, they are considered owners, because they are in that situation, and therefore, maybe we'll include them in the group of people who are owners, and they are still included in the bracha. However, the Achronim are not happy with this. They say that, what do you mean, we're only talking about 3-4 minutes, that it's very possible for them to go to the back of the shul, to go to the middle of the shul. For a few minutes, it's easy enough for anyone to find a different place in order that they can be included in the bracha, and that we do not need to use the category of owners to include them in the bracha. The Bi'alocha comes along, and he says that even though the Mechaber tells us that people who are on the side of the Kohanim, they are included in the bracha. However, it's not a normal thing for, if let's say I'm standing here doing Brachas Kohanim and someone is standing here facing the front, it's not normal for two people to speak like that they face away from each other. So says the Bi'alocha, either if they both face in the same direction, yeah, that means if someone is, let's say, standing on this level over here, then you should either face the same direction as the Kohanim towards the back, or if he faces towards the side, towards the Kohanim, as long as not facing the opposite direction, that is acceptable. Because if you can imagine, a lot of times you have people learning together, they'll both sit next to each other on a table, they're still talking together, because that's accepted practice, that if two people speak together, they should be sitting next to each other and facing the front, facing the same direction, not necessarily face to face. The Mechaber says that at the time of the Birkas Kohanim, at the time when Birkas Kohanim is taking place, one should keep quiet, one should focus on the bracha that is happening, not be saying anything else. And the reason for this is because if you have someone a servant who's going to come and get a bracha, is he going to be talking? He wants to accept the bracha, that's why he's here. So if you're going to get people in shul who are going to be talking, or even says the Mishnah Berurah, even if you're going to get people who are going to come saying psukim, yeah, in the siddur, the side of every word, yivarecha, there's a pasuk, the side of Hashem, there's a pasuk. So the Achronim, the Mishnah Berurah brings it down, says that it's not appropriate for people to be talking, to be saying these psukim whilst the bracha is going on, because they should be listening and absorbing the bracha that is taking place. And the Ramah, even the Ramah says that there's a minhag that nowadays, that whilst the Kohanim are saying the Nigunim, some people have the minhag to say Psukim, however, it's better still not to say them altogether. Now that we've established that the ideal way of a non-Kohen accepting the bracha is by being there, by not doing anything else, by focusing, the Mechaber comes along with another halacha, and he says specifically the people, the kohal, should be focusing on the bracha, and they should be facing the Kohanim, like we said, that it should be ponim k'neged ponim, they should be faced towards the face, and they should not look at the hands of the Kohanim. The Mechaber over here is the Loshna Rambam. Now, there really is two ways to explain this din. I think there's a slight misconception here. I think generally people take on that to look at the Kohanim's hands so they can get the eyes can get damaged. So this comes from a Gemara in Chagiga. The Gemara in Chagiga Tazayin says that those who look at the Kohanim's hands, their eyes become weakened and will be damaged. There is, however, another reason, which is brought in the Yerushalmi, which is because of Hesach Hadas. Just like we've said, that whilst Brachas Kohanim is going on, we want people to focus on the bracha, we want people to take in the bracha that is being said, so too we don't want people looking at the Kohanim's hands, because that will distract them from what they are supposed to be doing, from focusing on the bracha. The Beis Yosef comes along, and he says, don't say that the Mechaber's reason, the Mechaber's halacha over here, of not looking at the Kohanim's hands, is because their eyes will become weakened, because the Gemara in Chagiga says specifically that is only during the time of the Beis HaMikdash. When in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, when Brachas Kohanim took place, and the Kohanim was standing on their duchen, they were giving the bracha with the Shem HaMfoirash, the Shekhinah was on their hands, then there was this inyan of damage to the eyes of people who look at it. However, nowadays, where we don't give Brachas Kohanim with the Shem HaMfoirash, the Shekhinah is not on the Kohanim's hands, therefore, this whole reason does not apply. When they said Yivarecha Hashem, they said the Shem HaMfoirash. That's what Rabbi Yosef says, yeah.
What about today,
the
Kabbalah?
So we're going to come to that in a minute, yeah. So, says the Magen Avraham, that as far as the halacha is concerned, that which the Mechaba says, that you should not look at the eyes of the Kohen, and the Mechaba uses the word histaklus. Sorry, one. Says the Magen Avraham, that which the Mechaba says, that the people, that the Kohanim should not look at the Kohanim's hands, is, he uses the word, when he says look, he uses the word istaklus, and says the Magen Avraham, istaklus means a prolonged looking. Just like he brings a raya from the halacha regarding looking at a rainbow in Siman Reish Chof Tes, that it's used, the same principle over there, that someone who looks at a rainbow, his eyes become weak, and the words of the Mechaba over there are istaklus, and it's clear from the Mechaba over there that is talking about a prolonged looking, not just a glance at the rainbow, and not just a glance at the Kohanim's hats. The reason for this, says the Magen Avraham, is because we've just established that the reason for not looking at the Kohanim's hands is not because we don't want to get to the people's eyes to become damaged, because that was only in the time of Bisa Mikdosh. Only the reason is because of Hesach Hadas, we don't want people's concentration to become distracted. Therefore, it's only a prolonged looking which will distract people's attention. If someone just has a quick glance at the Kohanim's hands, that is not a looking which will distract the people's attention from what they are supposed to be doing, from focusing on the bracha. So it comes out from the Magen Avraham that just a glance at the Kohanim's hands, that as far as the halacha is concerned, there is no issur. However, says the Magen Avraham, still the minig remains that the non-Kohen does not look, or anyone does not look at the Kohanim's hands. Why? So says the Magen Avraham, that the reason is because we're making with this a zeichel lemikdosh. Very often we do things zeichel lemikdosh. This is another thing which is zeichel lemikdosh, just like over there, even a glance at the Kohanim's hands is not allowed because of Kavod HaShechinah. And if they would look longer, then their eyes would become damaged. Over here too, we want to remind ourselves of that, and therefore even a quick glance, we keep away from that, and therefore we do not look at the minigiz, we do not look at the Kohanim's hands whatsoever. Finishes off the Magen Avraham, because the reason is that we don't want to distract our attention, and that's why we don't want to look at the Kohanim's hands, it comes out that anything which will distract the people's attention during the bracha should be avoided. You shouldn't look at if there's an ambulance outside, if there's anything interesting going on which will distract people's attention from focusing on the bracha that they are receiving, that is something which should be avoided, and therefore one should keep his eyes downward to the siddur, or anything which will not distract his attention. So now we come to the question that you asked before, which is, where should the Kohanim's hands be during the bracha? Should they be inside the talus, or should they be outside the talus? Now the Ramah brings down two different minhagim. First of all, he says that not only should the people not look at the Kohanim's hands, the Kohanim themselves should also not look at their hands. Therefore, says the Ramah, the minhag is to pull the talus down over the face. However, the hands remain outside the talus because we want the Kohanim not to look at their hands. For the same reason that we do not want them to become distracted during the bracha. Says the Ramah, there are places, however, that the minhag is that the hands are inside the talus, in order that the people should not look at their hands. Now, I think I tried to do a bit of research on this, what the minhagim are, and it seems pretty much all over that everyone has the minig, all the Kohanim have the minig, that their hands are inside the talus on a general basis. I looked at pictures of Bruchas Kohanim Mother Kaisel on Chalom Sukkos, and everyone has the hands inside the talus. So I was just wondering, are there people that have the hands outside the talus? So I was asking around a bit, and I was told that someone told me that there is a collection of photos, there's a collection of 500 photos which a goy went around in Europe before the war, taking pictures of all Jewish different sites, and many of them took place on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And there's a photo there of five Kohanim in a shul duchening, and the hands are outside the talus. So it's just interesting to see that even though nowadays it seems that pretty much most people at least don't have their hands outside the talis, there does exist a minig that some people do have their hands outside the talis. So it was just bothering me that if we're worried about people looking at the Kohanim's hands because we don't want people to become distracted, why are we more worried that the general public shouldn't look than that the Kohanim themselves not looking? Yeah, why has the minhag seem to be taken over that the Kohanim have their hands inside the talis, even though there still is this concern that the Kohanim themselves will look? So originally I thought that the pshat is that in ratio-wise, there's a lot less risk of people doing something wrong if the hands are inside the talis, because the Kohanim, how many is it? 10%, 15%, rather than putting everyone else at risk of having 85% of people having the Yetzer Hara to look at the Kohanim's hands. I hear, no, but it seems that a bocha, a kohen as a general practice. Yeah, kohen as well, yeah. Yeah, no, the Ramal brings it. The Ramal brings it to cover the talis. The shay is how far? Yeah? So, the truth is that the Mishnah Berurah brings the Darkei Moshe, or the Ramal, that not only should the kohenim cover their hands, it's a good thing. The minig is that the people also cover their faces with a talis in order not to look at the Kohanim's hands. Rav Moshe Feinstein comes to explain our minhag that the Kohanim cover their hands with the talis, and he says that as far as the Kohanim looking at the hands, we're not so worried about them. And he brings the Orach HaShulchan. The Orach HaShulchan says, now anyway, if you can imagine, if you've got a talis pulled down over your hands, even though your hands are inside the talis, but you get creases and it's difficult to see your hands to a degree. And therefore, we're not so worried about the Kohanim looking at their own hands. And besides that, anyway, they're busy thinking about the words they're saying, they're busy timing it right, that the word should be said at the same time that everyone else is saying the word. Ah, you're going to say when they're singing, they're not doing anything. But then again, they're busy with the niggin, trying to make sure they've got the note right, trying to say it, trying to do the same part of the niggin at the same time as everyone else, which doesn't always happen. And therefore, they're always busy with something, so they're not going to be busy looking at their hands. And he says, anyway, it's a derech that if someone is covered their face with something, it's a normal thing for them to shut their eyes. Besides of that, there are bochrim which in the shul which are not going to cover their face altogether. They don't have a talis to cover their face, and therefore they are going to be at risk. So you're going to get a large percentage of people who don't have that possibility to cover their face, and therefore it's better that the kohanim should cover their face to cover their face and their hands. And besides that, and there's a snoshim anyway, you get the women who don't have a talis to cover themselves with. So there's many reasons that people in the shul, in the general public, are not going to be able to cover their eyes, and therefore you're going to have this risk of people looking, and therefore better that the kohanim should cover themselves and the hands should not be visible, and that way you haven't got the risk of people looking. What's your question? Right, so we're going to come to. So we're going to come to that soon. The Mechaber brings down that, which is the Gemara in Brochas, Daf Nun Hei, that during the last word of each pasuk, the general accepted thing is that people say the Ribbono Shel Olam, and in the Sidurim there is two things printed. There's the Ribbono Shel Olam for the first two, and there's the Yerotzon for the third one. Now let's just analyze for a minute the reason why we should daven this tefillah at this particular moment. The tefillah is the first tefillah, at least, is generally about the bittul of bad dreams. Yeah, in the olden times, especially, it was a normal thing for someone to dream about things which are going to happen. And I was actually about 20 years ago, I was in the car with Rabbi Yaakov Yosef Weiss, and someone turned around to him and said to him, There was a Bach in the car. He said to him, I had a dream last night, and I was standing on a mountain, and I saw very far away, big hill. What's it all about? So he told him, to look in the Siddur Rabbi Yaakov Emden, and he said, there's a whole perik there about chaloimus, and he told him the interpretation of his dream. So you shouldn't think that dreams nowadays, even though they're not so common, but they do happen, and they do have bad implications, and it's therefore important to be mevatel these dreams. Now, the Meiri, just as a general thing, that this time when the Kohenim, the people in the shul, are generally being mechaven a lot, it's a general time for when tefillahs are accepted, and the Zohar says it's a general time to mevatel any tzara, not dafke a dream. It's a time when there's general midas harachem in the world, and anyone who davens at this time, his gezar din will be turned to midas harachem. Rabbeinu Haigon brings a Medrash Tanchuma that says a very interesting thing. It brings a pasuk in Shir Hashirim. The pasuk says, "Hine mitosu shel Shlomo shishim giborim soviv lo." Around the bed of Shlomo HaMelech, there were 60 warriors standing round it. And the Medrash darshens that "Hine mitosu" is the Beis Hamikdash, and "Kulam achudei cherev" is referring to, shishim giborim, the 60 warriors, is referring to the 60 letters which there are in Brachas Kohanim, and all these 60 letters have the name of Hashem in it, or the words, Yivarech Hashem, Yoar Hashem, they all have the shame of Hashem in it, which are all considered Achuzei Chereh, they're all like swords, and Ishcharba Ali Reichoi, even a person who is lying Ali Reichoi, and sees in his dream, if he goes to shul in the morning, and he goes to shul with something in his mind, Mipachad Valeilos, with a fear from the night, which he saw in his dream, a bad dream, he sees the Kohanim duchening, then his bad dream will be dissolved altogether. Therefore Hashem said to Moshe, go and tell the Yidden to go and do Berachas Kohanim in order to be mevatel the dreams. So there's a specific connection over here between the bracha of Berachas Kohanim and bad dreams.
Why do you need to
jump to it? No. Netzrol, yeah, I'm not sure. They do it by Shalom, they do it. Yeah. The place that I've been, they do it by Shalom. Now, the question is, the Mechaber over here says something very interesting. He says, his words are, someone who sees a dream, he should say the tefillah during this time. Now, this seems to imply it's only someone who's said a dream, which raises a question on what we do. Why do we all make a general tefillah over here who said I've had a bad dream? Yeah, the Gemara, the Mechaber only says this about someone who's had a bad dream. So the Mishabura brings the Achronim that, like we know, in our countries, our circles, we all say the tefillah every time. Even someone who's not had a dream. The Achronim say the reason is that since we're only duchening on Yom Tov, it's impossible that since the last Yom Tov, I've not had a bad dream, and therefore it's appropriate to ask for this dream to be removed, because it must be that there's been a dream since the last Yom Tov. Oh, so that's what I was about to come to. Yes, so the Bi'alocha brings a Machzah Shekel, the Ass. What do you mean, second day Yom Tov, how can I go and say this tefillah? I don't know that I've had a dream since last night. So, and it seems that we do say the tefillah second day Yom Tov. So he says, maybe we have a chashash, that even though maybe I don't know about a dream, but maybe someone had a bad dream about me, which is what we say in the tefillah, whether I had a dream about someone else, or whether someone else had a dream about me, I would like to be mevatel that dream. So says the Bi'alocha that according to this, you should start from the second line in the Ribbon Shem. You shouldn't start from Ribbon Shem, but you should start from Yerotzen, the part that misses out whether I had a dream or whether someone else has a dream on the second day Yom Tov, in order not to get involved with this halachic problem. Now there's a general question which people ask, which is what happens if I'm not finished the Ribbon Shem by the time the Kohenim about of saying this word. So because we learned before that it's so vital for everyone to listen and to focus on the word which the Kohenim are saying, if you're getting a bracha from someone you want to listen to, you don't want to be talking, otherwise you're not going to be able to receive the bracha. And therefore it's only appropriate, it's only right that everybody keeps quiet during the time when the Kohenim are actually saying the word. So when they hear the Kohenim drawing the singing to a close and about to say the next word, then they should keep quiet and stop saying what they are saying. There is a tefillah which the Kohenim say once they turn round towards the front. They say to Hashem, "We've done what we have done. Now we want you to give a bracha to Klal Yisrael. Please come and give us the bracha that you have promised us." And the Kohenim specially time this. Says this, the Mechaber says they should time the finishing of this tefillah with Hamavorech is Amma Yisrael Bashalom. If anyone is standing near the front, will sometimes hear the Kohenim saying loud the end of the tefillah, which is Eretz Zavas Cholav Advosh, and they time that with Hamavorech is Amma Yisrael Bashalom. And it's just and the tzibur, says the Mechaber, should answer Amen on both tefillahs, and therefore it's important for the tzibur to know that they are answering Amen on both, and to have in mind that when they answer Amen, they are answering Amen on both. On both the tefillah of Hamavorech is Amma Yisrael Bashalom of the Chazan and the tefillah of the Kohenim, that they're asking Hashem for the bracha to be accepted.
Why does the Kohen say
So the truth is that the Ramal says that in a time when this tefillah, you're not going to have enough time to finish it. If Sim Shalom is going to take a long time, the Chazan can have, let's say, a big Chazanus to do, and the Kohenim will have finished Eretz Zavas Cholav Advosh before the Chazan reached Hamavorech is Amma Yisrael Bashalom, then you should say Adam Amorim as well, to time it that it should finish with Hamavorech is Amma Yisrael Bashalom. So we see the idea that Kohenim also have a place and time to say this tefillah as well. My Zayda, close to the end of his life, had the illness of Parkinson's. And he would go into shul, and in the end of the last 20 years of his life, he went to live in Eretz Yisrael. And I was talking about my Zayda with Parkinson's, he found out at the age of 60 that he had Parkinson's. So he went to the stipler for a bracha. And the stipler said to him, Parkinson's, Sagarnish, Mikel Lemon Swansigar Medem. And Mazeda was Nifta at the age of 80, years after the stipler was Nifta. So that's just a mice about Parkinson's. But either way, he used to go to shul, and he used to go out before Berachas Kohenim took place. And let's just analyze that a little bit. The Mechaber says that the Mechaber comes with one sif, and he says that there is four things which are vital during Berachas Kohenim. He says, "Ei mevorchim ela b'loshen hakodesh uva'amida u'b'nisiyas kapayim." The Kohenim have to duchan with Loshna Kodesh whilst they're standing and whilst holding their hands out straight. The reason for the standing, explain the Achrenim, that it comes from the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, L'shorsoi or Levorech Bishmoi. Levorech Bishmoi meaning Berachas Kohenim. So we compare the two. Just like the Shorsoi, which is Sheiris, which is Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, has to be done while standing. Like the Pasuk said, Lamoid L'shoris. You have to stand to do Avodah. So to a bracha also has to be done whilst standing. Most of the poskim, and kimat all of them, say that all these things are ma'akev, even by the evet. If a person can't do one of these things, he should better go out before a tzei in order not to be involved with these issues. Still, he's not able to duchen. He's not in the box. He couldn't stand without leaning. So, yeah. So, But so. So I think it depends what degree. I think it depends what. So I think it depends what degree of leaning. Yeah. But I'd like to come to another point, which was the second point of the mechaber, which is what about spreading out the hands? So often I daven in a shul where there is someone who unfortunately had a stroke, and he was left paralyzed on one side, and he is not able to hold out one hand. I think it's his right hand. And the question is even though we just learnt, the Mechaber tells us that one can only duchen with hands, when he's holding out his hands, as you can imagine, for such a person, who a Kohen, who is used to duchening all his life, is very, very hard emotionally to come to terms, right, from now on, that's it, I finished with this mitzvah, I can't do this anymore. So the question is there any way how we can allow this Kohen to duchen? So you might ask, what about standing? So the truth is that he has standing very difficult, but he practices it, and he's managed to, he might not be standing upright, but he's standing like this, but he is standing, he's not leaning, and that issue is dealt with. So the question is there any allowance for this issue of him holding out his hands? So let's just analyze for a minute the reason why the Kohen has to hold out his hands. Where does it come from? So there's a pasuk in the Chanukah Zamishkan, which tells us that Aaron was trying to bring the Shechina down, and the pasuk says Aaron did Berachas Kohen, and the pasuk says Vayisa Aaron is Yodov. Aaron lifted up his hands, he held out his hands, and this word Yodov is a Kriyat Siv. There's a Yud missing. That means it could be read, if you'll read it without the vowels, then it's read as Yodoy. If you sit on the Sefer Torah, it's Yodoy. Now, the Mishnah Berurah says that someone whose hands are shaking and cannot lift up his hands is not able to duchen, and is ma'akiv even b'diyevet. And the Mishnah Berurah says, even if you'll make supports, yeah? I'm sure you can make supports. Even the Mishnah Berurah's time, he has a way of doing it, that he had a hat on and he had like strings and ropes tied to his hat, and maybe he was put his hand through the ropes, he's still not able to duchen. If he can't lift up his hands, that is called leaning, and that is not a case when a Kohen is able to duchen. If he can lift his hand up just for the words, that's okay, but he has to hold his hands up whilst the words of Brachas Kohenim are being said. According to this, it comes out that such a Kohen has a problem, is not able to duchen. However, there is a big kula which the Avin Nezer brings along. And that is that we just mentioned that the Pasuk regarding lifting up his hands says that a Kohen should lift up his hands, and it's a Kriyat Siv. So the Avin Nezer was asked a question about a Kohen who had his left hand, who was missing a left hand. And his question was, can he duchen? So the Avnei Nezer says that there's machlekes all over Shas, whether yesh aim le mikra or yesh aim le mseiris. Do we go after the ksiv, how the word's written, or do we go how the word is read? And since he says that this word over here is read as yodov, but it's written as yodoy, then we're going to come to a pshora between the two. That means ideally the Kohen should lift up both hands, but if he does only lift up one hand, then he has still fulfilled the meaning of the pasuk of Vayisa Anis Yodov Yodoy, and therefore that is acceptable. Says one, that's not ma'akif. So says the Avni Nezer that just like according to the Manda Omar Yeshaim Lim Soires, that we go after how it's written, then it doesn't matter, because we have a way of taking both ways to both the Mikra and the Mesoires, both the way of how it's written and the way it's read into account, even according to the other Manda Omar, we will allow this to happen, that ideally it should be both hands, but if not, then it's good enough with one hand. Therefore he finishes off that this Kohen who has a hand missing, ideally, even though ideally it was the case that he should lift up both hands, however, if it's only one hand, that is enough, and we can allow him to dukhlin. However, says Adnan Nezer, he should still not say the bracha, he should get someone else to emote him with the bracha of Asher Kedishanu, but the words he can do, and he is pashtus fulfilling the mitzvah. And this is what I do, I go next to this koyan, and I say the bracha for him, I say a bit louder for him, he says amen, and then he lifts out one hand, and he says the bracha, and then he says the bracha of Yerecha and all the words himself, standing up, only with holding out one hand. Since we've been discussing the inyan of Brachas Kohanim, I'd like just to speak about a mitzvah which is relevant to Shavuos, which is also one of the Matnas Kuna, the mitzvah of Bikurim. Yerushalmi brings that at the time when the Kohanim reached the Azorah, they used to say the posuk of Kol Hanashoma to Halel Ko. And the question is, what relevance does this have to the mitzvah of Bikurim? So I saw a very, very interesting machshava, which I'd never heard before, which, if we analyze for a minute, all the actions which are involved in daily life, then the two letters which stick out, which are there throughout, are the letters Yud He, which are two letters of Hashem's name, which is Achila, yeah, there's a Yud He eating, Halicha, walking, Lina, sleeping overnight, Shena, sleeping, Sicha, talking, Bia, coming. All these actions are actions which a person does throughout his day, not necessarily to do with Ruchnias, but can be connected with Ruchnias, like the Mechaba says, in Siman Reish Lamed Beis, Bechol Drochecha Do'eo, with everything that we do, if we do it L'Chvod Shamayim, then we've achieved the tachlis of that action in this world. However, with Ruchniastic actions, there's another different two letters which stick out, which is the other two letters of Hashem's name, which is Torah, is Vav Hei, yeah, Avodah is also Vav Hei, Kedusha is Vav Hei, and Mitzah is again Vav Hei. So all the actions to do with Ruchnis is Vav Hei, and all the actions to do with Gashmis, which can be tied into Ruchnis, they are also Yud Hei, which is like the Apostle says, Ki Bikor Hashem Tzur Elomim, that Hashem is the rock of the world, is the foundation of the world, and with the Bria of the world, there was Gashmis together with Ruchnis, that we should elevate the Gashmis to bring it to its Tachlis, to Ruchnis, by doing Torah, by doing mitzvahs with it, and bringing the worlds to its Tachlis. The Pasuk describes the mitzvah of Bikurim with two words, Trumas Yodecha, the separation of your hand, the Medrash Darshans, the Gemara Darshans, Eila Bikurim, this is Bikurim. The Avodah of Bikurim is lifting up the hand. People have just worked the whole season, the whole year in the fields to bring their fruits, bring their crops to its tachlis, to see the fruits, to eat the fruits. What are they supposed to do? They get satisfaction. There's nothing like the first fruits that they pick. Oh, look what I picked. Yeah, a person feels a personal connection to it, an emotional connection to it. After such long, hard work, after such back-breaking work, through rain, through sun, yeah, and he takes this fruit and he brings it back to Hashem, to show Hashem that with this gashmis, he's going to bring it to Hashem, to the Ruchnias, yeah, to bring it to his tachlis in Olam Hazeh, not to think that Keichiv Oitzim Yodi Oso Liyasachayel Hazeh, and through that, a person comes to the realization and the appreciation of Kol HaNeshama to Halel Ka, that every neshama with the Ka, with these two letters, which are incorporated in a person's actions throughout the day, which have to do with Gashmias, which a person can elevate for Ruchnias, that is the Tachlis of Bikurim, and with that he is completing the mitzvah with its Shleimus. One of the names of Shavuos are called Yom HaBikurim, which maybe this is the reason behind it, because with the Koach HaTorah, with the understanding of the Torah's Hashkafa over here, what the idea behind Bikurim is, to bring the Gashmis and bring out of it the Kedusha, to bring out of it the Ruchnias with every action that we do, maybe that is also an understanding of the reason of Atzeres, that we are supposed to stop ourselves and connect ourselves through the Gashmias to the Ruchnias that we want to connect ourselves to. Now, these days, the last day of Iyar, the final days of Iyar, are the days when Amalek came to fight with Klal Yisrael before Kabbalah HaTorah, and this, in essence, was Amalek's theory, his whole idea was we want to disconnect Gashmius from Ruchnius. Gashmius has nothing to do with Ruchnius, which is against our whole Ashkofa, that we forget, we use the Gashmius to elevate, we elevate the Gashmius for the Ruchnius. And there's just one final point, which is that this last week of Sfira, the week leading up to Shavuos, is the week of Malchus. Now the idea behind Malchus is kingdom, we're trying to be Mamlech Hashem on the world, and this is a way of being Mamlech Hashem on the world, is by elevating every bit of Gashmius which we use, to use it for Ruchnius, and have a Ruchnius Tiki Kavona behind it, and that elevates the Gashmius to make it a whole different world, to make it a Ruchnius Tiki world, and Be'ezah Hashem with this, to Shibi Zoycha, to have Emes HaKabbalah Zatoyim. Thank you.